PCI practicality. There have been a lot of issues with getting people to deploy and to adhere to PCI rules, and there's little objection to the rules themselves, except some merchants have been complaining that there are some practical, logical reasons why some of the details have been a little difficult to enforce. Can you give us a little sense of that, Kathy?
Yes, we've got a group of retailers and to some degree some product manufacturers who are involved with discussions around PCI. What I do for a living is get retailers together around a table in an environment that's safe and to allow them to talk about the things that are going on in their companies these days. And I've been doing this for longer than I'd care to admit. The Retail Industry Leaders Association has had several meetings where our great big retailers and product suppliers have talked about what it means to implement PCI in the real world. Uniformly, our members pat the payment card industry on the back for having taken this issue on and for being proactive about it. There's no question about their satisfaction with the idea that there should be standards for how one works. I think their difficulty is that some of the requirements that came out in the original PCI rules were kind of one size fits all, which was difficult for some retailers to be able to get around. I mean, if you look at the difference between gigantic big box operations versus highly distributed operations like you'd find in a Radio Shack, for instance, where you've got 7,500 little stores, or a smallish operation where there are a bunch of stores, but the stores are physically small, like camera stores. There was some difficulty in being able to make the rules work and also to get common answers from the audit firms that would provide advice to retailers. So what RILA has been doing is having meetings with these retailers where we get together, talk about PCI implementation in the real world, what it really means, and then putting some recommendations together to feed some practical advice back into the financial companies as we move ahead. So one of them that comes to mind is very small stores. And please keep in mind, I'm nobody's PCI expert. We have a real expert who's advising us, who's a credentialed security expert. But in a very small store where certain kinds of information are being kept in the register during the day, in theory, under PCI rules, all customers would have to be escorted into the store with an escort wearing a badge because the store is of a certain size that would be the way the rule is written. So that's the kind of thing we're addressing to try to keep up with changing security requirements and to safeguard customer and store associate information.
Kathy, you had a great example dealing with, I believe it was a hotel chain?
We did. One of the participants in one of our meetings was a great big hotel chain who expressed some frustration with one of the rules they were grappling with at that time. One of the one-size-fits-all rules originally promulgated said that it was not possible for people to serve more than one operation. So in a resort, for instance, that might have a spa and a golf course and five restaurants and a pool, that various people from that larger site could not go elsewhere. They could not, for instance, somebody from the spa could not be a substitute at the pool because that would be against regulations, that they would not actually work there, and that those venues would be considered to be different companies. That was just one of the things that we had to work with. And it was particularly interesting with these groups because we have had meetings with all different sized companies, all different segments, and uniformly they're all happy to get together with other people so that they can compare notes about what works and practicalities and what kinds of compensating controls they might want to be able to take a look at.
This is Mark. I think that's really the goal, is the compensating controls. I mean, one of the problems is some of these problems aren't problems necessarily with the guidelines themselves, the PCI requirements, but they're problems with how they're being interpreted, particularly by audit firms. because the guidelines are written fairly broadly, and then you sit there and you say, well, how do we apply them? And then one audit firm will tell you, no, you can't do this. It's prohibited by the guidelines. And another audit firm will say, this is perfectly fine. And so I always say never let regulatory compliance be the enemy of doing the right thing. And what you need to do is you need to do the right and appropriate thing. And this happens in every area of security, whether it's HIPAA, Sarbanes-Oxley, or the PCI standards. You know, you write a general guideline. What makes PCI much more difficult is that many companies don't even know where they fit within the chain of PCI. They don't know if they're issuers, if they're processors, if they are merchants, and they may serve several different functions within that chain. And in terms of aggregating the volume of transactions that they do, you know, they may be a very large issuer and a very small processor. And that happens as companies start going into new business areas. They start becoming new things.
We certainly found that in the course of our meetings, and imagine how interesting it was for us to go out to the retail community where we have terrific contacts. You know, being a retail association, we've got great contacts. But to try to locate the correct person within those companies to talk to us was very difficult. I think we found a total of 4 people within the retail industry who had the title of Chief Information Security Officer. Many other people had the CIO in charge. There are VPs of architecture. There are directors of application development. There are compliance folks. In some case, the right person to talk to is the loss prevention person. So,
and that's interesting because one of the things that PCI requires is that you have an individual responsible for information security.
Well, and a number of companies, see, that's what's interesting we found, too, because a number of companies will point just by default at the CIO and say, oh, the buck stops there. But the CIO, in fact, may not know anything about this and is the person who just signs something periodically.
That's right. A good example is what we were just talking about a minute ago, which was Subway. Subway is thought to be, you know, as a merchant. And you go in, you buy a sub, and you give them your credit card, and that's it. But now with the stored value cards, they become an issuer as well. And so they've taken them from one regulatory scheme to another regulatory scheme within the PCI standards. And so new business opportunities and new ventures take you into new areas of PCI, and you need to be aware of them.
You were talking about that you don't see the problem being in the way the PCI regulations are written, per se, but that's the way various auditing firms are interpreting them. Would it not be the case that they could be written a lot more explicitly? In other words, why are the auditing firms interpreting them so differently if they're explicit?
In fact, if you were to write them even more explicitly, that would create more problems. The PCI standards are intended to be just that, standards and guidelines of good behavior. And if you get to too much of a level of granularity, then you're going to get into some real difficult problems where they just don't work in the real world. So they're intended to be fairly high level, reasonable standards of things to do. The problem is when the audit, if they're too broad and too general, you can't audit against them and you can't certify compliance. If they're too detailed, they don't work. So there's going to be a balance between them. And what happens is the auditing firms and the people who do assessments against PCI standards come in, and there's a certain amount of interpretation that they have to do to say, this is a good program, this is a bad program. And I think the real trick is having, if you're not doing something that PCI seems to suggest that you ought to be, you should be able to demonstrate that you have an adequate compensating control. In other words, that it isn't the problem.
But it also sounds like you're saying that you might let, you know, if one audit firm says, gee, you really can't do this and you really want to do it, you just find yourself another audit firm?
Well, in a sense, yes. What you do is you go find another audit firm and demonstrate to the audit firm that you have adequate compensating controls. And if it really becomes a violation of PCI, then you've got to go back to the Visa and MasterCard and go back and say, listen, we either need an exception or we need the rule changed. Because this is not a genuine threat. It's not a real threat to payment information. And we should be allowed to do this.
This was what the RILA group wanted to do. The RILA group intends, and it will be meeting again at the InfoSec conference in San Francisco at the end of September. We actually have our own vertical. We have the RetailSec vertical at that conference. to put together some guidelines on what compensating controls might be, to put some kind of weight on them so that they're not all created equal, and to then be able to use them and say, yes, I know we've got a, you've cited a problem here, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 0. And meanwhile, we've got these other things over here that really, really work, and provide sort of generally accepted guidance from the retail industry.
Yeah, you know, in a previous life, I had to deal with a number of different sort of compliance initiatives within the retailers that I was working with, and it was very hard, first of all, to understand what the compliance really meant and what it meant to our systems and procedures. And then once maybe we got a grasp on that, and we thought we were, you know, maybe not such on such shaky ground as you guys are discussing, then to understand how long it would take us to comply, what the cost was going to be, and then how we could make a case for, well, here's the reporting. At least we're reporting we're not doing it right. At least we know that we're not doing it right, and we're making some reasonable efforts to actually get there. Is that the state of where people are right now, or where would you guys say?
If only they were up to that standard. You know, right now, people are circling and dancing around PCI, and the large retailers are starting to do assessments to see where they are and put plans in place to become more compliant. I'm not saying to become compliant, but to become a goal. The smaller merchants and stuff are saying, PCI, what does that stand for?
Right.
And so, that's you know, you have them all over the map. And, you know, it's a relatively new standard, and so they're getting used to it.
I'd agree with all of that. And just note that a couple of years ago, HIPAA came up. And I had a batch of retailers in a room and asked the relevant ones how many of them thought they were HIPAA compliant, and not a single hand went up. All of this, I think, is a work in progress.